I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway, and we've been spending this entire hour on the farm. Now, in the new Netflix series, High on the Hog, host and food writer Stephen Satterfield traces the history and significance of African-American foodways. The show is based on a book of the same name by the renowned historian and cookbook author, Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Are you familiar with the phrase, high on the hog?
Oh, yeah. Going back to back in the slavery days, hog was a big deal. Folks on the plantation would kill it for their master, but all they got was the parts of the hog, like the feet and the tail and the intestine.
Part culinary show, part travelogue, the four-episode docuseries follows Satterfield as he travels to West Africa and across the U.S. to bring audiences the stories of the Black people who've shaped U.S. food culture, past and present. The chefs, historians, preservationists, activists, and more.
When you understand your history and understand where you come from, that understanding gives you purpose.
We call our food soul food. We are the only people who named our cuisine after something invisible that you could feel, like love and God.
For more on the importance of a show like High on the Hog, we're joined now by Osai Endelin, a James Beard award-winning writer and co-author of The Rise, Black Cooks and the Soul of American Food. Osai, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
So let's just dig right in. Why does this show have such, as you wrote in the New York Times, profound significance?
Well, that significance occurs on many levels, but that significance happens first just in the existence of this narrative itself. This history is not new, as viewers of the show have come to realize, as readers of Dr. Harris's work have known for quite some time. But we haven't seen it presented in this way. And that begs the question, why is that? And that starts to turn our attention toward the decision makers and the gatekeepers in the realm of media and entertainment, who get to decide just who it is that gets to be on planes and boats traveling to far off lands, explaining to American audiences what food is important or interesting or curious and what cultures are worthy of closer looks. And that hasn't really ever been a privilege extended to Black people or Black creators, not necessarily with the kinds of budgets that we're accustomed to seeing in other travelogues. So I felt that it was important to articulate that the timing of this story is important, not just because of what is happening in African-American history right now, but because of how long it has taken for us to get such a core element of our history portrayed in such a clear and artistic and beautiful way.
It really is beautiful. And I have to say there's this one portion, one storytelling that just had me screaming and hollering and jumping in my living room as I was watching it. And it's really the story of James Hemings. And I've taught that for a lot of years as part of kind of, you know, my courses in American politics. But can you tell us a little bit about the story of James Hemings?
Yes, and you know, I'll have to say the one of the best people to consult for that is Adrian Miller, who wrote a beautiful book called The President's Kitchen Cabinet, that details the experiences and the history of Black people in and around the White House throughout our nation's history. And he's in two episodes of High on the Hog. But James Hemings was a chef who was trained in France. And he was an enslaved chef who worked for Thomas Jefferson. And it is through the training that he received in France and his own innovations and creativity and craftsmanship that he brought back to the United States that he helped establish the fine dining culture that we have come to understand as being uniquely Eurocentric and aspirationally American. It is, in fact, many Black people who have been part and parcel of forming that legacy for us. And that in itself is surprising to many people, but not to folks who perhaps been closely watching the restaurant industry over the last couple of centuries.
And for me, it also, it's part of connecting back to your point around sort of who has the budget to travel log, right? I was also thinking, if you go to Mount Rushmore, you know, there's like a little plaque that will tell you, Thomas Jefferson created ice cream. Not Jefferson, right? Right. We need to go to Hemings, right? So it's always about asking that question behind. And I think that's part of what I find fascinating about High on the Hog is that it actually doesn't start with enslavement here in the U.S. It begins in West Africa, in Benin. And for those who haven't watched the series yet, why does it matter to begin there in West Africa?
It matters because that's where our ancestors originated from. And when you understand that these human beings brought with them traditions and practices and cultures that were already well in existence, you understand that they took what they already had and made the best that they could with what they were offered, which wasn't very much, you know, upon arrival to what eventually became the United States. And that's a point that gets missed, in a way that I think is so prohibitive to all students of this history, because it robs us both of an understanding that the continent of Africa lost something too in the transatlantic slave trade. In modern times, we might call that a brain drain, you know, if you work for a tech company. But there's an incredible loss of resources, of intergenerational presence that happened on that side too. And of course, the colonial impact in Africa is still incredibly harmful and damaging. One of the things I really like about High on the Hog is that it also articulates that the culture in Benin and in neighboring countries, as you might surmise, is not static, and that those culinary voices are changing and adapting as well. So as much as you have people still trying to make the food of their grandparents and their great-grandparents, they're also taking the experiences and the influences of different cultures and travel experiences that they're doing to affect their cuisine and what they want to put on the table. Just as people here are saying, you know, I'm not only going to cook with the ingredients that are available in my backyard. I want to incorporate the experiences that I had in Japan or the experiences that I had in Brazil in the food that you're having here, which if you are of African descent, becomes a lot easier to do and to connect those dots once you understand the movement of Black people throughout the diaspora, because where we go, our food went too.
My one advice for folks who are watching this series is be sure you've got some food in the house to cook, because it is going to make you hungry. Moving from all the way from James Hemings to Michael Twitty, it gives us that intergenerational look. Thank you so much, Osai Endelin. James Beard, award-winning writer and co-author of The Rise, Black Cooks and the Soul of American Food. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.